place called Babylon.
Remember that line from Dumb and Dumber?
Talking about a little place called Aspen.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
No, we're talking about a place called Babylon. Got a quiz for you here today, folks. I got a world domination quiz. No, this is not about Pinky and the Brain. This is about Babylon. What was the first capital of the world? Anybody? That's right, Babylon. Who said Babylon? That's correct. What was the second world capital of the world? Did you say Babylon? You're correct. How about the third world capital of the world? Rochester, New York. No, that's incorrect. I'm sorry. It's Babylon. Babylon was the first world headquarters in charge, CEO, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that guy? That was the Babylonian Empire. Then the Medes and Persians got together. And as I've told you in the past, whenever a Mede gets together with a Persian, there's going to be trouble generally. You know, they just have this hankering to take over the world. So the Medo-Persian Empire under Cyrus took over the Babylonian Empire, and they made their world headquarters Babylon. A Mede by himself, fine. A Persian over here, she's good. You get the Mede and the Persian together, man, all of a sudden, talk about a lust for power. But now the Medes and the Persians, even though they had one heck of a nice kingdom headquartered in Babylon, they also were conquered by Alexander the Great. Not Alexander the Mediocre. Nobody ever heard much about him. You know, he existed, Alexander the Mediocre, but he never really rose to any great esteem. He kind of slept in. He didn't eat right. His diet was very poor. He never exercised. Never got enough saturated fats. Saturated fats are good for you. The only problem with eggs is that we don't eat enough of them. So Alexander the Mediocre, you don't hear of him, but you hear of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great also had a world headquarters in Babylon. And there have only been three world headquarters in the history of the world: the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. And they've all been headquartered in Babylon. Now, in the same section of Scripture, prophet talking about these things, which I believe is Daniel chapter 2. Or is it 7? I don't know. I got to brush up on where these things are located. I know where they are. I know what they're about. I'm just, you know, I get lost sometimes if the location. There's going to be a fourth world empire, and it's also going to be headquartered in Babylon. And you don't not only find this in Daniel, but you find it out in Revelation. And apparently, the Americans, we, of the United States, still have a military presence in Babylon. You know, I don't buy every conspiracy theory comes down the pike, but apparently we're looking for major world kingdoms on the outside, you know, like certain kind of cat food. It's crunchy on the outside, tender on the inside. I've never seen any cat food that was tender on the outside, crunchy on the inside. But the point being is that a kingdom doesn't have to be one above the ground. Did you know that in my hometown in Windber, Pennsylvania, more people live below the ground than above the ground? But I guess that's a figure of speech because they're not really living. There are a lot of cemeteries in Windber. My point is that you can build a kingdom beneath as well as above. Bunkers. Where'd we pull that crazy lunatic? What was that crazy lunatic running the guy with the beard, you know? Yeah. Who was the guy with the beard that ran Iraq? Why can't I think of that guy's name? Saddam Hussein. He had a bunker. We pulled him out of a hole in the ground. It wasn't a really nice hole. It was a pretty, low-income housing, okay? So, but there is very high-level, sophisticated tunnelage going on in the world, I think, that we don't even know about. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is going on in Babylon. Anyway, there's going to be a magnificent city built there, and God says that Babylon is going to be headquarters of the fourth world kingdom that's going to be pulverized by his kingdom. If God says it, I believe it. It's Babylon by the river Euphrates. We're going to get all into those juicy details in the study in my series on the book of Revelation when I get back to the city where more people live beneath the ground, figure of speech, live, than above the ground. In the meantime, check out these juicy tidbits about the Babylon Nebuchadnezzar lived in. I told you yesterday, by the way, welcome to Friday. This is Martin Zender. in case you didn't know, I told you that humans build walls for themselves once they obtain power to keep their power, to protect their power. Not only that, but to make themselves feel like they all that. And Nebuchadnezzar definitely thought he would all that. And this is why. Because in its day, Babylon was said to be one of the most marvelous cities of the ancient world. It was, rumor has it, 50 miles in circumference. In other words, you get in your chariot, hook it up, latch up your horses, and it would take 50 miles to go around the circumference of this city. And they had huge walls. The city itself was 200 square miles. Now, I have no conception of that, except I think that's around the size of New York City. And that's a large area, right? In the ancients, you wonder how they built this stuff, but they did. The walls, this sounds incredible. The walls of ancient Babylon were 300 feet high. That's a football field, 300 feet. That's 100 yards. So picture a football field and then make it vertical. If you can see that on the Zender cam, I'm taking a horizontal football field and I'm tilting it, making it vertical. That's the height of the walls of Babylon. I hope you're getting analogies from this, because yesterday I told you that we have our own personal walls of Babylon. Babylon is significant. It's allegorical in a sense. I mean, it's literal, but we can take allegories from it. The mistake people make with Babylon, I'll tell you this now since we're delving into Babylon. Maybe Monday we'll get into King Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, definitely Monday we'll get into King Nebuchadnezzar. Is that people think it's a figure of speech. But here's the thing. You have to literal first, always. Literal if possible. Is it possible for Babylon to be a literal city? It sure is, since it was already three times in the past the capital of the world. But you can take allegories from it. And you can say Babylon is also a figure for confusion, for anything humans build. The Tower of Babel, building to reach heaven. We're building something to reach God. We're all in ourselves. And we want to be all that within ourselves. And that is a type of Babylon. It's Babylon within, if you will. But you cannot take the allegory, apply it any way you want, and eliminate the literal necessity, the literal city. That's the mistake many people make. I have the luxury, and now you have the luxury because you're listening to me, of having the best of both worlds. I don't have to jettison the literal meaning of these scripture verses. I don't have to make myself look foolish and uninformed by saying Babylon's not going to be the world capital when God clearly says it is. But neither do I have to come across as unenlightened and unspiritual because I can't find allegories in the scripture. I know it's an allegory. I know it's a metaphor for confusion. I know it's a metaphor for the strength of the human flesh and the walls. Walls in scripture typify strength and the protection of the self. God's getting rid of that with us. All our walls are coming down. And I love that. I personally love to be honest with you. I personally love to be told when I'm wrong. Contrary to popular belief, it's easy to admit when I'm wrong because it happens so infrequently. But when somebody says you're wrong, I realize that I really am, I love to humble myself and say, you know, I apologize. Oh, an apology is another thing. I think I've told you that. I love to tell people I'm sorry. I just love it. Because it takes down those walls. It makes me open. I am an open person. If you could see my body language on the Zender cam, I'm all about openness. I'm all about wanting to be transparent. If I'm wrong about something, if I'm being recalcitrant, if I'm being secretive on purpose, if I'm not open with you, you need to tell me and I'll correct it. And this is what we're going to find with King Nebuchadnezzar. He may not have been open to it, but he was corrected. And in the end times, namely the book of Revelation, the earth, the world, is being corrected. Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon and his humiliation, which we're going to look into next week, is a microcosm of the next Babylon, of the larger picture. The entire earth is going to be given a season of discipline. In fact, seven seasons came over Nebuchadnezzar, seven seasons or years speaking, will come upon this earth. And this earth is going to learn who is in charge. People say, where's God? I look all over for God. I don't see him. He's set this pot on the stove and he's left it. And he's left us and he's far away and he's not here. Well, there, people are going to pray for God to go back home because he is going to dramatically insert himself visibly and obviously into world affairs. And there's going to be no mistaking who it is. It's going to be God. So for you people, nobody here listening, if someone, atheist or something, listening over your shoulder, mocking God, where is the God of the heavens? Where is he? Let him show himself. Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist, somebody asked him. It was the guy who did the thing about the intelligent design, Ben Stein of Expelled, the movie Expelled. He asked Richard Dawson, what if you're wrong? What if all your efforts to get rid of God are wasted? What if you find out someday that there really is a God? And Dawkins said something really interesting. I would say, sir, why did you take such pains to hide yourself? Well, God's not always going to hide himself. Now we see him by the Spirit. We know he's operating everything in accord with the counsel of his own will. But there's coming a day, and we're going to be talking about this day for the next months, years, God forbid, about a God who is no longer going to hide himself. He's going to dramatically splash upon the scene. And because of the discipline of the Lord visiting us, the world is going to learn righteousness. I got more to say about the city, Babylon. You're not going to believe how wide the walls were. I'm going to tell you that on Monday. Get to look forward to that all weekend. When people ask you why you have a smile on your face all week, it's because Senator's going to tell me on Monday how wide were the walls of ancient Babylon. Have a great weekend.